With you. I promised my wife I wouldn't say anything, but most of you guys know me. I've got a big mouth, so I've got to say a couple of things. We're honored this morning to have Brother Keith Parker with us, and just a couple of things about him. I'll never forget. I guess we've known him and his family for probably somewhere around 25 years, and his wife and both his daughters are lovely ladies, and obviously Pete as well. We love Pete, but that we're very blessed to have them here this morning. Keith is going to speak from the heart. I have no doubt about that this morning. He's going to do a great job with us. One funny thing I'll tell you about Keith, I'll never forget back when we were in Hendersonville, Tennessee. We worshiped there. I guess it was for about 12 or 13 years. I noticed in the fall time, I kind of caught on the more I got to know him. He's a big college football fan. And some of you guys in here will appreciate that. And he always had this little kind of an ongoing, every fall we noticed, about the last Saturday in October, he would get up towards the end of the month, and he would either be in a crimson jacket or a very bright orange jacket. Now, most of y'all that are college football fans know Tennessee and Alabama are pretty big rivals. And there during that time period, Tennessee used to be pretty good when we were living in Tennessee. And Keith would get up on Sunday mornings, every now and then he would have an orange jacket on. And I would think, man, that guy, to have the nerve to get up in front of 1,500 people in front with an orange jacket on, that was pretty, you know, just unreal for me as a teenager to watch him do that kind of stuff. Probably the most patient guy I've ever met. And most of you guys know me. You got an opportunity to meet my friend Josh Ross about a year and a half ago. And Josh and Keith are probably two of my favorite people in this world, and I appreciate that. Scripture reading this morning will be taken from Luke, the 15th chapter, verse 20. Luke, chapter 15, verse 20. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him, and he was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him.
Wasn't that a wonderful introduction? May God forgive Ryan for telling those lies. And may God forgive me for believing them. Ryan and Beth, Marty and Roger, super people. I miss them. Great people. They're servants of the Lord. They're some of my favorite people in the world. What an honor to be with them. What an honor to be with you guys. Did you enjoy the singing this morning? Huh? I tell you, not only is Slate a great preacher, Slate is a great song leader. You know, most of us preachers can only sing. But Slate can not only sing, he can preach. And I'm honored to be with him and Julie. They're doing a great work here. And it's just a great joy to stand where Slate stands every Sunday. He's planted a lot of seed, and I'm here to put a little water on that seed, and God will give the increase. What a joy to be with you. I want you to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 15. It's the third book of God's new Bible. Matthew, Mark, Luke, there's the book, chapter 15. Friday night, we talked about how to have a great home. We talked about the thing called love. And then yesterday, we emphasized in our marriage retreat some bricks that will build a happy home. This morning in Bible class, we talked about the family that prays together, stays together. What I want to do for a few minutes this morning, I want to take you back to a story here in Luke chapter 15, a story about a broken home, a home that really needs God's grace. Luke chapter 15, maybe you remember the chapter in Luke 15, verses 1 through 7. 1 through 7, Jesus speaks about a lost sheep, a lost sheep. In verses 8, 9, and 10, he speaks about some lost silver, some lost silver. And then in verses 11 through the remainder of the chapter, 11 through, how many verses are in this chapter? 32? 11 through 32, he speaks about a lost son. Can you remember three S's? Do your head like this. Sure you can. Well, if you can remember three simple S's, sheep, silver, and son, you have Luke 15 in your heart. You know what this chapter is all about. Now, I wish that I had the time to talk to you about the sheep and the silver. I don't for time's sake. Only the son. We're going to start in Luke 15, verse 11, and read about 15 verses together. Are you with me? Verse 11 of Luke chapter 15, put a smile on your face, a Bible in your hand, a seatbelt on, and listen carefully to this incredible story taught by the great storyteller Jesus. Jesus said, a certain man had two sons. Let me just pause right here to say that my father had two sons. I have an older brother by the name of Steve. Steve is also a preacher. I'm the youngest of the two sons. So I can identify with this story. I can see myself in the story. A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. There arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a person, a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine, to feed pigs. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. And no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare? And I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no more worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired servants. And then the verse that Ryan read a few minutes ago, and he arose and he went. And when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, O Father, I've sinned against heaven and your sight. I'm not worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. And put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry, to be happy. That's Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 24. Audience, what we usually call this story? We call it the story of the... I want you to do me a favor. I want you to go back to Luke 15 and find the verse in which Jesus refers to this kid as the PK, the prodigal kid, the prodigal son. When you find it, do this, okay? Look over Luke 15, verses 11 through 24 and find the verse. We're looking for the verse in which Jesus refers to him as the prodigal son. It's not in there, is it? I mean, you can read and read and read and study and study and study all night long, but it's not in there. Nowhere does Jesus say, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you the story of the broken home, the prodigal son. It's not in there. And yet that's the way that we know it. I mean, Luke 15 is mentioned maybe in a sermon, in a Bible class, and we say, Luke 15, let's see now, Luke 15. Luke 15. Oh, yeah, that's the story of that kid, the prodigal son. We call him a prodigal son, a sinful son, a rebellious son. A wasteful son. I have one son. His name... there he is. Wake him up, Pete. Wake him up. I say, Pete, don't embarrass Daddy. Don't turn out to be like this kid. He's not a good kid. He's a bad kid. But you know something? I can see some good in him. I say, I can see, moms and dads, some good in this old boy of Luke chapter 15. I say, I can see some good in him. Let me share a couple of good things that I see, okay? In the first place, he did not blame others. Number one, he did not blame others that he ended up in that pig pen. Sometimes we want to do that, right? We want to point fingers. We want to say, your fault. We want to blame other people. It was true with Adam and Eve, the first family. Do you remember the story? God told Adam and Eve not to eat of a certain tree. If they did, they were sure to die. The devil came along and said, now, Wait a minute. God said you'll die. You'll not die. He added one word, just one, to the Word of God. God said you'll die. You'll not die. God knows that if you eat of this fruit, your eyes will be open. You'll be as wise as He is. And you know, they listened to the devil, and because they did, God wanted to know why. God went to Adam and God said, "My son, Adam, why did you do it? Why did you mess up?" What did Adam say? "Who, me? You're talking to me. It's not my fault, God. It's the woman's fault." It usually is, isn't it, guys? Huh? It's what we think, the woman's fault. "The woman that you gave me, she calls me to do it." It's the woman. Get on to the woman. And you know, God's not prejudiced, so God goes over to the woman. And God says, "My daughter, Eve, why did you do it? Why did you mess up?" What did Eve say? "Who, me? It's not my fault. It's the devil's fault. It's the devil's fault. The devil made me do it." Have you guys ever seen that T-shirt? The T-shirt that says, "The devil made me do it"? Well, that's not a new T-shirt in any sense of the imagination. It's as old as Genesis 1, 2, and 3. I mean, that's what Eve said in the garden. "The devil made me do it." But see, that's one of the good things that I appreciate about this old boy of Luke chapter 15. Folks, when he came home, he did not come home wearing that T-shirt. He didn't come home saying, "Oh, the devil made me do it." He didn't come home pointing fingers, blaming his mama or his daddy. He didn't come home saying, "Mama, Dad, you know why I ran away? Let me tell you why. It's Joe's fault, my older brother. Get on to Joe. It's his fault." No, sir. He came home saying, "Who blew it? Who's to blame? Me, myself, and I." So number one, I like this kid. I really like this kid. I like the PK, the prodigal kid. Because number one, he did not blame others. He did not point fingers. He did not say, "It's your fault." He came home saying, "I'm to blame." Let me share another good thing that I see. In the second place, he did not beg. Number one, he did not blame others. And number two, he did not beg. He said, "You know, I have two good hands. I've got two good feet. I've got a good mind, a healthy body, and I'm able to go to work." Now, folks, do you remember the kind of work he did in that far country? What did he do in that far country? Yeah, you can call it husking the swine if you want to, okay? Hey, Ryan, what do you do for a living? Old Ryan says, "I'm a swine husker." That sounds a lot better than, "Hey, Ryan, what do you do for a living?" "I'm a hog slopper." I don't know what you call it down here in Florida. Up in Tennessee, we call it slopping the hogs, okay? Now, I understand you have some wild pigs down here in Florida. Is that right? You have some wild hogs? I don't know what you call it down here, but up in Tennessee, we call it slopping the hogs. Now, folks, there are a lot of things that I'd rather do than slop the hogs. Mowing grass with a $99 Walmart special. A little bit easier than slopping the hogs. Hey, young ladies, teenagers, babysitting, teenage girls, babysitting. It's a little bit easier than slopping the hogs. Hey, Slate, preaching, a little bit easier than slopping the hogs. See, there are a lot of things that I'd rather do than slop the pigs. But that's one of the good things that I appreciate about this old boy of Luke 15. He wasn't too good to slop the hogs. He wasn't too good to get a little stains on his hands, a little dirt under his fingernails, a little sweat on his face. He didn't stand back and say, "Hey, where do I sign up? Excuse me, sir, what are you going to give to me?" You see, the Bible still says, let me start it and you finish it, okay? The Bible still says, if a man does not work, neither should he. We believe in eating, don't we? Yeah. If a man doesn't work, neither should he eat. We believe in eating. And I believe that the kid of Luke chapter 15 understood that, so he wasn't too good to go to work. Now, the point is this. He's a bad son. He's a sinful son. He's a prodigal son. But I still see some good in him. And brethren, isn't that what we ought to be able to see in the lives of one another, the good instead of the bad? Isn't that what we ought to be able to see in our families, the lives of our families, and mom and dad, and son and daughter, and husband and wife, the positive instead of the negative? Anybody else want to say amen? That was weak. You know why some of us don't say amen? Let's just be honest, okay? That's what we look for, right? We look for the negative instead of the positive. I remember some time ago, Sandra and I were washing windows. You ever wash windows? We were washing those windows. She was washing on the inside. I was on the ladder on the outside, and I was washing on the outside.
And every few minutes we would do this. We weren't talking. We weren't communicating. We were just washing away, and every few minutes we would... You know what we were saying, don't you? Yeah, you missed the spot. And it's so easy to see the spots, the dirt in other people's lives. It's so easy to see the negative and what's wrong in home folks. I remember some time ago, I went somewhere to preach. Went up north to preach. And have you ever noticed that the people up in the north just don't talk like the people down in the south? You have noticed that, haven't you? I mean, you can take one of our southern boys and put him up there in the north, and in just a few minutes he'll be talking with that Yankee accent, right? Now, you can take one of those northern boys and put him down here in the south, and in just a few months we'll have him talking normally. But there's a difference in the way that northern people talk and the way that southern people talk. But I went up there to preach. Man, I was preaching my very best stuff, my very best lessons. And I remember I marched back to the back, started shaking the folks out. And that was a guy that walked out. He shook my hand, and here's what he said. He said, I'll give you a D-. You guys ever made a D-? I had never made a D- in my life until I preached that sermon. Now, I heard about a little boy that made a D-. In fact, he made four F's. And one D-. Can you imagine that, moms and dads? Four F's and one D-. His daddy looked at the report card and said, "Son, Freddie, what in the world have you been doing?" And little Freddie said, "Well, Daddy, I guess I've been spending too much time on one subject. I had never made a D- in my life until I preached that sermon." But the guy walked out, he shook my hand and said, "About a D-. And you know, that's often what we look for. We look for the D-minuses instead of the A-pluses. I mean, we look to pick and pick and gripe and stomp and stomp. And we get on the phone, we gossip and we gossip. And let me tell you something, folks. If you look for the bad long enough, you're going to be able to find it. You know that? I mean, regardless of how sweet a person is, how innocent. He has warts, he has wrinkles, he makes mistakes. And there's bad in elders. And there's bad in deacons. And there's bad in preachers. Did I say that, Pete? And there's bad in churches. But folks, I don't want you to see the bad. I want you to see the good. Hey, if you look for the bad in me, it's not going to take you long to find it. But folks, I don't want you to see the bad. I want you to see the good. And husbands, you need to see the good in your wives. Ladies. Punch him in the ribs. Tell him to say amen. Say amen or sleep on the couch. Fellas, you do need to see the good in your wife. And ladies, you need to see the good in your husband. And parents, yeah, amen. And parents, you need to see the good in the kiddos. And kiddos, teenagers, see the good in mom and dad. And I promise, it'll bless your home. It'll bless your family. You want to have a great family? See the good, not the bad. It's biblical. You say, "Brother Keith, this is a church. I've got my Bible. Give me some Bible." You want some Bible? Let me give you some Bible. Philippians 4, verse 8. Philippians 4, verse 8. Paul said, "Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things." The positive, the good things, not the bad things. You want a happy home? You don't want a broken home, do you? If you want a happy home, emphasize the positive, not the negative. See the good and not the bad. Well, he's a bad son. He's a prodigal son, a sinful son. But I still see some good in him. Number one, he did not blame others. Number two, he did not beg. You say, "Well, preacher, why do we call this kid the prodigal kid? Why do we call him the prodigal son?" Well, I believe that Jesus answers that question. We say this is a broken home. Why do we say it's a broken home? Well, let's go back to the text. Let's go back to the story and see what Jesus said about it. Go back to verse 11. Luke 15 and verse 11. Jesus said, "A certain papa, a certain daddy, had two boys. And the younger of them said to his daddy," hey, daddy, listen to what he says, folks. Don't miss it. "Give me the portion of goods that falleth to me." Notice the word "me." two-letter word. Give me what's coming to me. He goes to his daddy like this. Hey, daddy, take care of me. Don't forget about me. Give me what's coming to me. You know his basic problem? Let me tell you his basic problem, folks. His basic problem, he was selfish. Selfish. Hey, Papa. Papa, take care of me. Give me what's coming to me. Don't forget about me. Hey, Papa, I'm here. Give me what's coming to me. We all struggle with it, don't we? Don't we struggle with this thing called selfishness? You know, I think about what Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting in verse 1. 2 Timothy 3, starting in verse 1. This know also, in the last days, perilous, troublesome times will come. Folks, do you realize we're living in the last days? You say, the last days, how do you know that? The Bible tells me so. In the last days, troublesome times will come. Men will be lovers of their own selves. Now he goes on to say, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. But ladies and gentlemen, did you notice the very first sin on the list? In the last days, troublesome times will come. Paul said men will be lovers of their own selves. We all struggle with it, don't we? I have a camera in my hand, a camera. And I get over here on this side and I take a picture. I take your picture. You look at the picture. Who's the very first person you look for in the picture? Huh? The very first person you look for in the picture. The person sitting beside you, behind you, in front of you. Nobody, nobody. Where am I? Where am I? Oh, there I am. And if you look good, this is a good picture, right? And if you look bad, where'd you get that camera? Did you get that at Walmart? See, we all struggle with this thing called selfishness. Selfishness. Have you ever noticed how selfish little babies are? Huh? Now, if you have a little baby, we want you to know that baby is cute, but he's rude. At all hours of the night. Selfishness. We all struggle with it. Give me what's coming to me. Take care of me. I want to be happy. Take care of me. And that's what we see in this kid. He goes to his daddy and says, hey, Papa, Papa, give me what's coming to me. His basic problem was that of selfishness. But I see something else. Go down to verse 13. Luke 15 and verse 13. And not many days after, I want you to know we left out this verse a few minutes ago in our reading of the verse, in our reading of the text. But don't miss it. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. You know what he does, according to verse 13? Kind of breaks your heart. I mean, if you're a mom, if you're a dad, this really breaks your heart. You know what the kid does? He runs away from home. Let me ask the young people of this audience, young people, have you ever wanted to run away from home?
Yes.
Pete, don't be telling our secrets, buddy. Okay, let's just all admit it, okay? You ever wanted to run away from home? I remember when I was a kid, I wanted to run away from home. I got mad at my mama. We were, I don't remember over what, but I remember we were standing in the kitchen and my mama made me mad and I got mad at my mama and I was going to run away and my daddy came in and my daddy got involved in the argument and I got so mad at my daddy. I'm not proud of it, but folks, I got so mad at my daddy. You know what I did? I pulled out my BB gun. I did. Not bragging about it. But I got mad at my daddy, so I got my BB gun, and I remember, man, I was going to shoot my daddy. You know what my daddy did? My daddy got out his BB gun. Kind of looked like gun smoke. But his BB gun did not look like my BB gun. His BB gun looked something like this. This was his BB, his belt gun. And unlike his son, unlike me, he didn't just threaten to shoot it. He shot it over and over and over. Folks, I was afraid he'd never run out of BBs. Now, I know that some of you are sitting there thinking, oh, spanking, we don't do that in our home. We're more sophisticated than that. And you're what's wrong with North America. See, my parents really believed that the best way to make a kid mine was to approach him from behind. And they would do that sometimes with a belt, sometimes with a switch, sometimes with their bare hands. And I don't know, maybe that's what the kid of Luke 15 needed. Maybe he just needed a kick in the seat. But he knew he could not stay at home and live like he was going to live. He was going to break his mom and dad's heart. And so he says, hey, see you later. And he runs away from home. And notice what he does in that far country, verse 13. In that far country, he wasted his substance with riotous living. Not righteous, but riotous. What does that mean? Let me show you what it means. I see the word sin in this story. He wasted everything on riotous, wild, extravagant, prodigal, sinful living. You say, Brother Keith, what did he do in that far country? Did he gamble? Maybe. Well, what about alcohol? Did he get drunk? Perhaps. Wild women? Were wild women involved? Maybe. But in that far country, he sinned. And let me tell you something, folks. That's what sin will do. Are you listening? Sin will drive you into a far country. See, sin will separate you from your mom. Sin will separate you from your dad, your family. Sin will separate you from your church. In fact, Isaiah put it like this in chapter 59, verses 1 and 2. Your sin, your iniquity, has separated between you and God. You say, Keith, why do we call this kid, the prodigal son? Number one, selfishness. Hey, Papa, give me what's coming to me. And then number two, I see the word sin. In that far country, he spends all of his money on wild, extravagant, sinful living. But I see something else here. Let me share it with you. In the third place, I see this word, the word starved. Starved. May I show you how starved he is? Look down to verse 14. Verse 14. In that far country, he spends everything on wild, extravagant, sinful living. And the Bible says, Jesus said in telling the story, when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land. And he began to be in want and need. And so what does he do? He goes and he joins himself to a person, a citizen of that country, and that guy sends him into his fields to feed pigs. And notice how starved he is, verse 16. He would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. And folks, do you see how starved, how hungry he is? He's so starved he could eat pig food. Let me just put it like this, okay? He's so starved he could eat the slop. Now, don't come to me after church and say, Brother Keith, this is not slop. These are pods. I'm just trying to put it in our vernacular, okay? I'm trying to put it in our language. Folks, he's so starved, he could eat pig food. You ever been that hungry? You ever been starved? So hungry you could eat slop? You know, sometimes in churches of Christ, I tell you, folks, we've done a lot. It's been a wonderful weekend with this marriage retreat. Ryan and Beth, Slate, Julie, the elders, they've led us in a great weekend. I tell you something about this weekend. We've had some wonderful meals. Just great food this weekend. But slop? Can you imagine a slop fellowship? Can you imagine the preacher getting up, Brother Slate getting up and saying, now, ladies and gentlemen, we want everybody to stay after church. We're going to have a slop fellowship. Slop. Can you imagine being so hungry you could eat pig food? Now, here's what I believe Jesus wants us to see in the story. If we start with this will lead to this, and this will lead to this. Is that right or wrong? If we start with selfishness, I'm on the throne. I've got to have it my way. My way or the highway. I'm always right. Give me what's coming to me. If we start with selfishness, folks, selfishness leads to sin, missing the mark, breaking the heart of God. And sin leads to what? Starvation. And there are some people in this room, and you're you're not starved physically. We have plenty to eat, most of us. So you're not starved physically, but maybe you're starved emotionally. Maybe you're starved for a hug, maybe a pat on the back, a compliment. Maybe you're starved for a thank you. Maybe you're just starved for a better relationship with God. Do you feel your hunger? Do you feel like you're in need? I tell you, we don't want you to stay in that far country. We want you to come home. Let's bring him home. Luke 15, look to verse 17. Don't miss it. He comes to himself. He wakes up. He repents. And here's what he says. How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? Think about it, folks. He's out in the pig pen. He's sitting here. Pigs are rooting and rolling and wallowing and feeding and whatever else pigs do. Maybe sweat's pouring down his face. He smells like who knows what. And all of a sudden it occurs to him, you know, my father was good to the servants, to the slaves, to the box boys, the foot washers. He was good to us sons, but he was even good to the servants. And he remembers in that pig pen the goodness of his daddy. I want to say something to the Christians of this audience. To those of you who have been baptized into Christ, I have some good news for you. Here's the good news. You have a good father. You say a good father. My father abused me when I was a kid. My father ran off with another woman. I'm not talking about your father. I'm talking about your father. If you're a baptized believer, folks, you have a good father. May I tell you how good your father is? When this little thought occurred to me many, many years ago, it literally changed my life. I went from a burdened Christian to a blessed Christian. I went from a guilt-ridden Christian to an at-peace kind of Christian. Let me tell you the simple thought that changed my life. God is so good. My Father is so good. He wants me to go to heaven. Even more than I want myself to go to heaven. Let me say it like this. God is so good, He wants me to be saved. Even more than I want myself to be saved. Do you want to be saved? The rest of you just missed a wonderful time to say amen. So I'll give you another shot, okay? You want to be saved? Amen. Go to heaven? You say, go to heaven, be saved. Keith, there's nothing that I want more than to go to heaven. See, that's a great desire. But I'm telling you, folks, no matter how strong your desire is to go to heaven, no matter how fired up you become, you can attend every church service there is to attend, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You can get into the Word and read 15 chapters a day. You can get down on your knees and you can pray 17 times every day. But I'm telling you, no matter how fired up you become, no matter how strong your desire is to go to heaven, there's a God in heaven who loves you. He's crazy about you. And He wants you to be saved even more than you want yourself to be saved. And if you don't believe it, just look at the cross. God says, that's how much I love you. Let me ask the fathers of this audience, daddies, do you want your babies to go to heaven, your kids? Roger, Marty, some of my favorite people in the world, Ryan and Beth, your kids. You think Roger wants Ryan to go to heaven? More than life. You say, I want my kids to be safe. Absolutely. Folks, if we want our kids to be safe, don't you know the Heavenly Father wants His kids to be saved? And the kid in the pig pen realized the goodness of his father, and so he said, I tell you, I've got a good father. I tell you what I'm going to do. Verse 18, I will arise, and I will go, and I will say, Daddy. Hard to say, isn't it? Isn't it hard to say? Hardest word in the human language is the word no. It's hard for me to say no. Somebody calls on the phone, hey Keith, come and preach for us. Sure, when? I'll be there. I'll be glad to come. It's hard for me to say no. It's hard for me to say no to the second piece of pie. What about you? Cookies for Pete, pie for me. It's hard for me to say no to the second piece of pie, especially if it's chocolate or pecan. Or a coconut. I love pie, okay? It's hard to say no to the second piece of advice. Hardest word in the human language, no. You know what the two hardest words are? I'm sorry. Honey, I'm sorry. Kids, I'm sorry. Mama, I'm sorry. Daddy, I'm sorry. Hardest word, no. Two hardest words, I'm sorry. You know what the three hardest words are? They're found right here in Luke 15. Did you notice? Verse 18. I will get up and I will go and I will say, Daddy, here they are. I have sinned. Now, folks, listen to me. Are you listening? If you don't believe their heart, let me just ask you, when was the last time you said that to anybody? Think about it. When was the last time as a baptized believer you walked down a church aisle and said, pray for me? I have sinned. You've been a Christian how long? 5 years? 10? You say, Keith, Christian, man, let's say I've been a Christian. I've been a Christian for 57 years. 57 years? You've been a Christian for 50, in 57 years, have you ever come forward in church and said, I have sinned, pray for me. It's biblical. Confess your sins one to another, James 5:16. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us. The son said, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to get up and I'm going to go and I'm going to say, Daddy, I've sinned. That's what he does. Don't miss it. Verse 20. It may be my favorite verse in all the Bible. Ryan read it a few minutes ago. He arose and he came to his father. You know what we would say? He responded. He walked down a church aisle. He came forward. That's how we say it. Did anybody go forward? He came forward, folks. He arose and he went. When was the last time you came forward in church? As a daddy, as a son, as a mama, as a daughter. When was the last time you responded in church? Folks, this kid responds. He arose and he went. I love this part. I love it. When he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. I wonder how long had the old daddy been looking? And had compassion. No father has compassion. And, don't miss it, three letters to the word, ran, R-A-N. He ran. Have you ever seen your old daddy run? This father runs. He ran. And he fell on his neck and he kissed him. And that tells me something about my father. You know what that tells me about my father? Let me tell you something, folks. If you step out in one of these aisles this morning and you come forward and you say, you know, I'm not a Christian. I'm not a son of God. I'm not a daughter of God. But I know what Jesus taught in John chapter 3. You must be born again. And I know what Jesus taught in Mark 16:16. Anybody that believes and is baptized shall be saved. And I believe in Jesus Christ. I've never been baptized. And today, this very moment, I want to be baptized into Christ. If you come this morning saying, I need to be baptized. I want to be baptized. Let me tell you, folks, God will not walk to meet you. God will run. He'll run. And if you step out on one of these aisles this morning, you come forward and you say, you know, I am a Christian. I'm a baptized believer. But I've not been a faithful son. I've not been a fired up son. Man, I just want to do better. I want to live better. I want my home to be a spiritual home. I want to be the leader of my home. Pray for me. If you come forward this morning saying, hey, pray for me. Let me tell you, folks, God will not walk to meet you. He won't walk. He'll run. Will God run? Will the God of heaven run? Ah, God full of grace and mercy and love and compassion, the old Father will run. You've listened well. It's about time to sing the invitation song. I've told you about this son. Let me tell you about another son. Let me tell you about Pete. June the 26th, 1982, mentioned Pete in Bible class. Pete was born with some problems. People look at Pete and say he's handicapped. Some people are a little bit maybe nicer and say, well, he's brain damaged. He is brain damaged. 31, never taken a step by himself in his life. I don't tell you about Pete to get you to feel sorry for us. We do not, at least most of the time, we do not feel sorry for ourselves. He's been a blessing to our lives. If you don't believe me, just ask him, right? But let me ask the mothers of this audience. Moms, how would you feel if your son had never taken a step by himself in his life? Dads, how would you feel if your boy had never played on a ball team? See, brain damage is bad. Handicaps hurt. But folks, there's something that's worse than brain damage. You know what's worse than brain damage? It's soul damage. S-O-U-L, soul damage. And maybe I stand before some people this morning and your soul is damaged before God. Maybe your home is broken. Maybe you're struggling in your marriage. Struggling with your kids. You just need a better home. You need a better relationship with the Father. And so I'm asking you, don't just stand there and sing as if I'm okay and you're okay and everybody's okay. I want to challenge you to do something about your life this morning. Let God's people pray for you. If you need to be baptized into Christ, be baptized into Christ. If you need to be prayed for, be prayed for. Let me tell you what I've been praying. I don't know what you've been praying. I have been praying as we stand and sing the very first verse of this invitation song that somebody in this audience would let go. I don't know if I've been praying for somebody over on this side of the room or I've been praying for somebody right here on this side of the room. But I've been praying that somebody in this audience would lead the way. It may be a mom. Sometimes it takes the ladies leading the way. It may be a dad. It may be a son. It may be a daughter. But I've been praying as we've seen the very first verse of this invitation song that somebody would come and just say, hey, I want to do better. I want to be baptized. I want to be prayed for. And you know something? Usually when one responds, there's another. There's another. And even more and more and more. But it takes that one person to lead the way. One person to break the ice. So I don't know who I've been praying for. But I've been praying for somebody in this audience to lead the way. Your home can be better. Your family can be better. Will God run? Would the God of heaven run? Oh, you take the first step. You take the first step out into one of these aisles. Down to the front. And God will not walk to meet you. He'll run. He'll run. Let's stand and sing the invitation song.